Well, the significance about this is then what we start to see is evolution is based on repeating patterns, number one, and also increasing awareness. So the first thing that cells did, because when they were first created, they were all individual entities. Microbacteria started to come together into communities. We call these today biofilms, where different bacteria can share a community underneath a common membrane. They actually form a community. Well, from biofilms evolved the next level of cells, the eukaryotic cell, the cell that makes up the human body, for example, the cell we see in textbooks that has a structure like the nucleus, and it has these other things like mitochondria and Golgi and other things inside of it called organelles. The organelles were actually derivatives of the primitive microorganisms that got into that biofilm. So the community of bacteria formed a cell called a eukaryotic cell. The eukaryotic cell, when it first formed, was also an individual entity, such as a paramecium or amoeba or an algae cell, living what appears to be their own solitary lives. But like the previous organisms in this fractal image, they also lived in community. And so with evolution, for the first 3 billion years or so on this planet, it was basically free-living microorganisms or small little community of microorganisms called amoebas or paramecia, stuff like that. About 800,000 years ago, profound change occurred because evolution was expanding awareness. And as is reported in The Biology of Belief, the previous book in which a lot of this is based, the awareness of a cell is in the skin or membrane of the cell. And cells can't get too big because they start to break because the skin can't hold them. Cells are like water balloons. If you put a little water in a balloon, we could all throw the balloon around and it will hold its integrity and hold intact. But if you make the balloon membrane too big, the skin, by blowing up the balloon, filling it with a lot of water, then you try to throw that balloon, the balloon will rupture. Well, essentially, the same thing happens with cells. Cells could not make larger and larger membrane reflecting more and more awareness because there's a point where the cell was unstable and like a water balloon would rip. So evolution seemed to stop, and that's why for the first 3 billion years, all there were single-celled organisms, each trying to expand their membrane to a certain degree, but not being able to go past a certain point. But about 800,000 years ago, evolution took another jump, just like it did originally when the bacteria came together to create a cell. The new cell, the eukaryotic cells like amoebas and paramecia, they started to come together to form a community called a multicellular organism. At first, they were just colonial cells all living together and sharing their awareness, which enhanced their survival. But at some point, the colony started to get too big, and too many cells were in the colony, so having all the cells do exactly the same thing was totally inefficient. Yes, it is more efficient for two to live together because the two could live as cheaply as one. But if all the cells coming together did the same thing, that wasn't efficient either. So as organisms started to reach a certain size, the cells started to distribute the workload. So some cells became heart cells, some cells became bone cells, some became nerve cells. And so the multicellular organism structured itself up into different communities of cells that expressed different functions that contributed to the whole. These different communities take on shapes. So we see the evolution of these shapes. We call, oh, this is a dog. This is a cat. This is a human. Well, we give them individual names. They actually just communities that have precise structure. A human is a community of 50 trillion cells. Well, what's interesting, in a fractal image repeat, when humans first entered into the biosphere, they were living in very loose communities. And then at some point, it got more effective for them to come together and colonial groups, so they started to move as small colonies. But as the colonies started to succeed and survive, it wasn't effective for everybody in the community to do the same job. So we distributed the workload. First, there were hunters that would go out, and others stayed at home and took care of the home fires and took care of the kids, a differentiation of labor among the humans. So what's interesting is, as cells got together to make a multicellular organism called a human, humans repeat this in a fractal image, and through their evolution started to come together to make a multicellular organization called humanity. So the evolution of humanity is a fractal evolution of the human. And as a result of this, then we can start to understand that the evolution of humanity as a living organism, by its nature being a fractal of animals, would then have a self-similar evolution pattern that animals express, so that humanity would go through defined stages of its expression where it was self-similar to the evolution of animal stages. Let's go back over the evolution of animals, just the vertebrate level. We talked about animals went from a fish organization. Then they changed their biology and started to reflect an amphibian kind of biology. And then, again, there were biological evolution that led to the reptiles. And then from the reptiles evolved birds. And from small reptiles evolved mammals. So it says, wait, the organization and evolution of animals went through stages from like fish to amphibians to reptiles to birds and to mammals. Well, in a fractal world, then I would say humanity as an evolving organism would go through self-similar stages. So there'd be a stage of humanity that was fish-like, a stage that was amphibian-like and reptile-like, etc. So we go back and say, well, is this really true? And I go, yeah. At some point when society started to get big, the first societies were called maricultures. And they were like fish cultures. They had to live at the water. Fish lived in the water. They couldn't live outside the water. Maricultures were a stage of human evolution where we were restricted to the water. Why? Because people couldn't live without water. And so wherever water was, that's where people were. So people were locked to the water like fish were locked to the water. And maricultures were the early cultures where people lived on the edge of the continents, for example, and traveled by boat from one continent to another. So the early of our human culture was the equivalent of a mariculture, which was the equivalent of a fish phase. However, amphibians evolved, and amphibians were able to take the water with them onto the land. So the fish were restricted to the water, but the amphibians left the water and carried it onto the land with them. Well, if we go back in human evolution, I'd have to say that would be tantamount to our agricultural period, where we developed the technology where we were no longer restricted to stay at the water. We could take the water with us onto the land or find the water on that land. And in the process, then the organisms left the interface of the water, and then humanity started to develop cultures that were making use of the land. And these early cultures were agricultural in their nature, dependent, of course, upon getting the water to wherever they were going to be growing their agriculture. Well, amphibians, a version of an organism that took us out of the water and brought us on the land, were really not that well adapted to the land. Amphibians are kind of a sluggish organism. They don't have a body that is really developed for land. So what's interesting is the reptiles evolved. And reptiles evolved from the previous form amphibians, but they were different because their bodies were more like mechanisms and machines. When you look at a reptile, its head clicks, its eyes flip, just like digital devices, their tongues dart. They're fabulous machines on land. They outperform, in a sense, amphibians because their biology is more mechanistic. And it's very interesting because these reptiles were machine-like devices. In fact, we talk of dinosaurs as killing machines in a sense of the reptilian character of it. Well,